Good morning. It is headline news this morning. President Barack Obama has won the 2009 Nobel Peace Prize. They say, quote, for his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. So Lars Bevinger is reporting for our partner, the BBC, in Oslo. Lars, can you explain what happened here? What was the atmosphere in the room when the announcement was made? Was there shock and surprise?
Well, yeah, actually, there was a bit of a, not an outcry, but you could hear some of the gathered media actually expressing a surprise, because there had been a hot favorite, Morgan Tsvangirai, the Prime Minister of Zimbabwe, was one. Obama, we knew he was nominated, but nobody really took it seriously, because after all, he's been in power for about 9 months, and he hasn't had that much time to prove himself as a peacemaker. So, yes, there was genuine surprise.
And after a couple minutes, did it then change to feelings of congratulations, or are people still kind of in a state of shock?
Well, people are questioning the decision. There's been a Q&A session with the chairman of the Norwegian Nobel Committee, and he was quite pressed, actually, on the choice of the committee by several of the media gathered there. They said, you know, he hasn't actually done much yet. Would it not be better to award it to someone who has been working for peace for much longer and actually achieved something? Also, one criticism levied has been that Obama, he has a platform. He's got a global platform already, of course, that may be the best platform there is, while there are a lot of people in the background, if you like, who work hard for peace, who do not have that platform at all, who might benefit more from receiving such a prize.
And the question might be how this is going to affect his ability on that global platform. Thank you. That's Lars Bevinger reporting for our partner, the BBC, in Oslo.
We can give you a bit of a taste of the questioning that that committee chairman, Thorbjørn Jagland, in Oslo underwent after the announcement was made. Here is him explaining the decision of why Barack Obama won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Only very rarely has a person to the same extent as Obama captured the world's attention and given its people hope for a better future.
Capturing the world's attention, hope for a better future. If that furthers the mission of the Nobel Committee, we will have to see. It's up to Barack Obama now. Joining us now is a senior correspondent for the New York Times, Alan Cowell. He's in London, longtime observer of both peace prizes and peace and war around the world. Alan Cowell, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And here in the studio is Paul Martin, who's professor and director of human rights studies at Barnard College, Columbia University. Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
So, Alan, this is a bit of a shocker from Oslo. What is the precedent of the Nobel Committee attempting to intervene in an ongoing peace process? And have they had much success attempting to influence events like this, which it seems to be that's what's going on here?
Well, I guess the most obvious comparison would be the Peace Prize awarded for Middle East peace efforts in the 90s, and you could argue one way or another that that did produce some results, but if you look at the situation on the ground, of course, in the Middle East, the parties there are no closer. In fact, some people would say they're further apart than they were at the time. So the track record isn't great.
And indeed, I mean, the history is actually a bit alarming in the sense that Sadat didn't survive long after his Nobel, and neither did Yitzhak Rabin in the Middle East. I mean, I'm not saying that that would happen here, but it does not bode necessarily well for the process, the awarding of this prize. Alan Cowell?
Well, what I thought was particularly interesting was the stress on the creation of a new international climate. And I'm quite sure that there will be people who will say, well, this was a way of rewarding, in a way, the American people for the change from the Bush administration and the international opprobrium that drew to the United States. If you remember from the speech that was just given by Mr. Jagland at his press conference, he spoke specifically of the President Obama's initial overtures in Cairo to the Arab world, at the United Nations. So I think that shift in the international climate is what the committee seems to be trying to highlight, and hoping that that will in some way, although it's difficult to see how at the moment, that will have a broader impact on these various individual issues.
Well, it's certainly something to talk about. Alan Cowell, New York Times senior correspondent in London. Stay with us, please. Paul Martin, professor and director of human rights my studies at Barnard College, Columbia University. Lars Bevinger of the BBC just sort of raised this issue that, in fact, the Nobel Committee might have chosen someone who needs a platform as opposed to someone who has a platform like Barack Obama. What is the precedent for the Nobel Committee singling out someone who maybe is working for peace in relative obscurity and elevating them? And is that a better argument for the use of this prize than to give it to a sitting president?
Well, I mean, you have to look back at history, and there's so many. How many times has the prize been awarded? And looking at each individual case, I simply couldn't do that on the air.
Sure.
I think you have to see that in a much bigger context. I mean, my take is very much Alan's take. This is a symbolic, visionary gesture, not focused on any specific event. My wife was recently in Tanzania, and her topic was always, when people said, "Where do you come from?" She said, "Obamaland." And suddenly people's eyes lit up. And there's an amazing degree to which he is seen as something of a prophet around the world. So that's the context of the choice that I see.
So, Paul, you know, there is this kind of myth, I guess you would say, that the Peace Prize is awarded to people to recognize efforts in peace that are successful. And yet, if you look at the history of the prize, very often it's awarded to people to encourage them in ongoing efforts at what the committee seems to think are critical moments for them, to get them over the hump in efforts that are ongoing. Is that not the case?
Yes, I mean, that has been the case in certain instances, yes. But Martin Luther King, I mean, I think he was a category there. And the other African-American who's received the prize is Ralph Bunche, you see. And he was very closely associated with the UN and the UN's work in peace building.
And in the history of sitting presidents being awarded, Alan Cowell, you've got Teddy Roosevelt, who was known as
pretty much
a rough rider warmonger. And then you've got Woodrow Wilson, whose legacy in diplomacy, while certainly laudable, didn't really ultimately amount to much. Alan? All right, we're hearing from you. You're calling in with your response to Barack Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize this morning, announcement in Oslo, calling at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
My name is Kamal, calling from New Jersey. I don't think that Barack Obama has done anything yet. I think he's promised to do a lot of things, and I voted for him, and that's good. But you don't give away awards and prizes for something you've promised to do and haven't done.
All right. If you'd like to weigh in why or why not Barack Obama and the Nobel Peace Prize, you can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. So, Paul Martin, in some sense, this award is given not so much to Barack Obama, but to the hopes that stand behind him. And they're very different hopes, depending on whether you're in Afghanistan or in Cairo or in sub-Saharan Africa or even here in the United States.
Yes, exactly. And I think the symbolic value of Barack Obama is enormous. One of the issues that's always been dealt with great difficulty is race. And I think that is an issue which most people around the world, many people around the world are concerned about, but don't really talk about. And I think the symbolism of the fact you had these three black Americans elected, given the prize, suggests to me that there's something the world's saying to us. Mm. And I think the fact that he now becomes president of the United States, or is president of the United States, I think the symbolism of that is just not lost on the world. And I think the Americans don't appreciate that symbolism.
I'm trying to figure out, Celeste, if I want to be Barack Obama this morning or if he's under so much pressure now to deliver
world
peace.
Were I Barack Obama, I would crack. But I'm just looking at the Nelson Mandela Foundation has welcomed the prize for Barack Obama and said they hope it strengthens his commitment to continue promoting peace and the eradication of poverty. And I would imagine that as we were mentioning before, that perhaps this is the nod from the international community saying, good job so far, but keep going. Is that pretty?
It's a nod, but it's also an acceptance of a vision. I mean, and that's what I think. People want that vision. They want to be able to look to something that opens something on the horizon, which is exciting. And I think he has provided that for the rest of the world in a way which we Americans still don't appreciate.
I'm wondering if there's precedent for a Nobel Prize being awarded to someone who's involved in two active conflicts, the war in Afghanistan and the war in Iraq.
Although he's pulling the troops out of Iraq.
Well, true, but he's the commander-in-chief of forces that are actually intervening in two countries around the world. It's an indication of how things have changed. The Nobel Prize Committee didn't award the prize during World War II and World War One to the Red Cross afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So a lot to talk about. President Barack Obama is the 2009 winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. Paul Martin is a professor and director of human rights studies at Barnard College at Columbia University.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from. whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.